broadcasting live from the West End Waltham in Boston, Massachusetts, for Vistage Executive Summit 2015. It's CEO exclusive. Now, here's your host, Soyini Koch.
I want to welcome my co-host, Greg Michaels, who is a regional consultant with Vistage, with me this morning, and then also Dave Caruso. It's great to have you on the show, gentlemen. Dave, I would love it if you would start off by telling us just a little bit about what CCG Wealth does and a little bit about your company.
I certainly will, and thank you very much for inviting me here today. I appreciate it. CCG Wealth, Coastal Capital Group, is basically a wealth management firm. We've been developed about for 10 years. And before that, actually, I was in the business for 30 years, 25 years before that, working for the big firm. So what we do is we help people connect their money with their lives and understand that a lot of the mistakes we make in money is not because we don't understand it, it's because of behavioral finance. We try and teach people, you gotta learn how to play the game.
Got it. So what are the trends in behavioral finance or in wealth management that you think middle market CEOs need to know about?
First of all, is that you can't be a genius. You're not going to be a genius when it comes to the investments. But what you have to understand is that most of us are human. And what we don't do is think about things. We just react and we react emotionally. So what happens is, an example, if you go back and look at the last 30 years in history, there's an organization called Dalbar. And what they did is they said, what's the average investor done from an investment standpoint? And what's the average fund done? And if you put your money in stocks, you'd have about 11% rate of return. Guess what the average investor did? They got about a 3% return, because they always get out at the wrong time and don't get in at the right time. So it's just human nature. We're just nature naturally supposed to come back and forth and deal with that.
So tell us, so you know, you have your behavioral side. What are some trends in the stocks or in the marketplace that you think are interesting and that CEOs should know?
Well, I think it sometimes comes from where we started. Now, I started back in 1980. You know what? They invented this thing called the 401k, and it changed the universe in terms of we now had to be responsible for our money, and we had to make the decisions about where to save it and what to do with it.
Pensions went away.
You're exactly right. It changed the whole world. We now had to manage our lives and our money, and that's what we weren't doing before.
And so in terms of today's market?
I think at today's market, we're getting much better as an industry. Back in 1980, they were selling products and they were selling information, and it really wasn't clear what they were doing. Now they're talking about, we have to understand financial planning. We have to understand our behavior, and we have to understand the investments. And one of the biggest trends have been in the last few years, a lot because of what the markets have been going straight up, is looking at these exchange traded funds or these mutual funds that are indexes, and they're very low cost. Not easy to work with, but there's something that people are using, and it makes more sense if they buy something that they know what they're going to do with.
And so tell us what you think the next big thing is.
I think the next big thing is that we're going to have technology telling us what to do. Because I talk about that behavioral finance, there are programs out there right now. If people can't budget, and by the way, 70% of the people in this country don't save a nickel or don't save a nickel and end up getting in more debt. So if 70% of the people aren't saving money, there are going to be tools that are going to be right there and say, hey, a little light's going to go off and it's going to say, I just went over my budget. And it's going to warn people that they have to work within the realm of knowing how to save and then worrying about the investing later. It's got to be automatic. And I think that's going to be my next book when it comes to financial planning. It's going to be the no-think retirement. It's put it away, don't think about, just get it done and go on with your life and do the things that you really enjoy.
Actually, I get it. I came from a wealth management background, so I can understand your language, even though I no longer speak it anymore. And you're right. Humans are hardwired to fail financially. Every book will tell you that. But what about your the staff, the folks that you rely on to deliver the service and make good on the expectations that your clients have in their minds?
It's all about the culture. It really is. And it's hard to get culture into people. And what we do is we basically say, we as the advisor, so to speak, we don't dictate what happens. We have a process called the supernova advisor. And what it says is, you have to be proactive to all of your clients and talk to them proactively 6 to 12 times a year. And if you do that and you make them aware and you talk to them, they're going to feel better, you're going to feel better, and it's going to be more reactive to it when you're talking to them. They'll think that you care in the process. And also, I think with the people, we really are having our associates actually tell us, this is what you have to do. We're not telling them what to do. They're telling us what to do and making sure that we're contacting people, making sure that we're in touch with them, and making sure that they're understanding their goals and making sure that we follow up. So it really is a relationship much more so. And we almost want to call our clients, and we do call our clients friends as opposed to clients, because we want someone that we can work with and they want someone they can trust.
Mm. I mean, so, you know, the markets are, you know, animal spirits, right? So what's the hardest thing you have to deal with in terms of the markets, in terms of that technical side?
It's not to let your emotions get in the way. There are certain times, we just had a crunch here in the last couple of months, in August and September. And what we were telling everybody is, this is not the time to sell. And that's really human nature. Human nature says, when times are bad, I've got to sell everything and I've got to do something and I've got to get out of the way. No, that's the time that you're supposed to be buying when the markets go down. And vice versa, when the markets are going up, and they have gone up here in October, people are saying, well, now I should be buying. No, you shouldn't be buying when the markets are going up. You should be buying when they're going down. So it's just very counterintuitive. And that's why maybe 70% of the people don't get the game, because you're supposed to buy low and sell high.
So you were talking about technology, mm-hmm. and data science, and applying data science to wealth management. Do you think that people will do what the computer or the whatever app it is tells them to do when it says you're supposed to sell now or you're supposed to save money? Do you think they'll obey?
Great question. My answer is no. We don't do it now. Why would we do it later? They talk about these robo-advisors that are coming out, and we're going to be able to do everything by our computers, and they're going to be inexpensive. No, you have to have someone there saying, hey, guess what? You're doing the wrong thing. You've got to have someone that's going to hold you accountable. The computer isn't going to do it. I still think we need a human being in the process to understand the psychology of the markets, not just the technicals of the market.
And you said 70% of the people don't save a nickel. Did I hear that?
70% of the people in this country do not save a nickel. That's not a good place to start.
But our target market are middle market CEOs. Is that still true of this demographic?
Yeah, it still is. But what's more important is, 5 and 10 years ago, they didn't want advisors to go in and talk to their people because they were afraid that they would sell them something that wouldn't be bad or there'd be a conflict of interest. Now we're finding about 90% of the people that are in the C-suites, they're saying, we want our people to be educated so that they can understand about money, so that they can have a better life, and they're not struggling all the time. So we're being encouraged now to go in and talk to these people and have them understand how the game is played, versus 10 years ago, they didn't really want to talk about it.
And, you know, so what do you see as the role of the advisor with this robo advisor, you know, and the advent of all this data science? How is that role changing?
Well, you know, the very nature of this business is kind of funny as a consultant, because there was someone named Michael Kitsis, who's a specialist in this book, and he says, when someone goes and has a meeting with a financial advisor, it's like having a root canal, a math class, and divorce settlement. So these are hard things to do. So what we have to do is, we have to understand where people are coming from. We have to have them put together a life to-do list, and we have to talk to them and say, how are you doing on that? So many times it's not about the money. It really is about, what am I doing in my life? Am I doing the things that are more important? And that's what we focus in on.
Great, great, great. What are your biggest challenges that you're facing now?
I think it's, you know what, it's always the same thing. It's people. You know, we're
those darn people.
If it were for people and customers, you know, life would be okay. But I think it really is. It's dealing with people. It's having them understand. It's meeting expectations. It's having everybody on the same page. And that's what we're constantly struggling with. I think 80% of the problems that I have are really just communication problems.
Great.
I mean, if you could have one decision to do over, a mulligan over the course of your career, something that, you know, you look back on, oh, I could do this better. What do you think it would be?
Wow, good question. I think the industry has done it for us. I felt in the first stages of this business back in 1980, you were a salesperson. Your only job was to sell something, and that's what you got accolades for. And I think it's finally evolved that now it is about the client. It is about the relationship. It is more holistic. It's not just talking about money. It's getting you to the finish line. And I think I wish I would have done that. And quite frankly, I think I wish I would have started my own business, 35 years ago as opposed to 10 years ago, because it gave me the chance to do what I wanted to do, not when I felt someone else wanted me to do.
And so, Dave, you're here. It's the Vistage Executive Summit. How long have you been in Vistage?
I've actually been here for just a year. I was here at the first meeting last year, so this is my first year as an experience here.
And what are you hoping to get out of today?
I want to get some bullet points and some thoughts about how do I work better with people? How do you communicate better with people? How do you put your disciplines in line? I think I just want to share one or two nuggets somewhere of how I can be better at what I'm doing and how my people can be more interactive in making their own decisions as opposed to looking to me to make the decisions for them.
Great. Well, thank you so much for taking a moment out of the very valuable Vistage Executive Summit to spend some time on the air with us.
Well, thank you very much for having me here. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
This show is brought to you by Annona Enterprises, where strategy is your access to money and performance. Learn more at annonaenterprises.com.